Oh, the deadly snares that women set for women.
Thy sight was never yet more precious to me. Oh, welcome with all the affection of a mother that comfort can express from natural love. Since thy birth joy, a mother's chiefest gladness, thou wast not more dear to me than this hour presents thee to my heart. Welcome again.
Lass, poor affectionate soul, how her joys speak to me. I have observed it often, and I know it is the fortune commonly of knavish children to have the lovingest mothers.
What's this gentlewoman?
Oh, you have named the most unvalued purchase that youth of man had ever knowledge of. As often as I look upon that treasure and know it to be mine, there lies the blessing. It joys me that I ever was ordained to have a being and to live amongst men, which is a fearful living and a poor one, let a man truly think on't. To have the toil and grief of 40 years put up in a white sheet tied with 2 knots. Methinks it should strike earthquakes and adulterers when even the very sheets they commit sin in may prove, for aught they know, all their last garments. Oh, what a mark were there for women then. But beauty, able to content a conqueror whom earth could scarce content, keeps me in compass. I find no wish in me bent sinfully to this man's sister or to that man's wife. I must confess I am guilty of one sin, mother, more than I brought into the world with me. But that I glory in. 'Tis theft, but noble, as ever greatness yet shot up withal.
How's that, Leontio?
Look on her well. She's mine. Look on her better. Now say if 't be not the best piece of theft that ever was committed, and I have my pardon for it. 'Tis sealed from heaven by marriage.
Married to her?
You must keep counsel, mother. I am undone else. If it be known, I have lost her. Do but think now what that loss is. Life's but a trifle to it. From Venice, her consent and I have brought her from parents great in wealth. More now in rage.
Oh.
But let storms spend their furies. Now we have got a shelter o'er our quiet innocent loves, we are contented. Little money she has brought me. View but her face. You may see all her dowry, save that which lies locked up in hidden virtues, like jewels kept in cabinets.
You are to blame if your obedience will give way to a check to wrong such a perfection.
How?
To draw her from her fortune, which no doubt at the full time might have proved rich and noble. Oh, you know not what you have done. My life can give you but little helps, and my death lesser hopes. And hitherto your own means has but made shift to keep you single, and that hardly, too. What ableness have you to do her right, then, in maintenance fitting her birth and virtues, which every woman of necessity looks for, and most to go above it?
Speak low, sweet mother. I pray, do not you teach her to rebel when she's in a good way to obedience, to rise with other women in commotion against their husbands for 6 gowns a year. If you can but rest quiet, she's contented with all conditions that my fortunes bring her to. To keep close as a wife that loves her husband, to go after the rate of my ability, not the licentious swinge of her own will like some of her old schoolfellows.
Oh.
She intends to take out other works in a new sampler and frame the fashion of an honest love.
Oh.
Good mother, make not you things worse than they are out of your too much openness. Pray take heed on't. Nor imitate the envy of old people that strive to mar good sport because they are perfect. I would have you more pitiful to youth, especially to your own flesh and blood. I'll prove an excellent husband. Here's my hand. Lay in provision, follow my business roundly, and make you a grandmother in 40 weeks. Go. Pray salute her. Bid her welcome cheerfully. Bianca?
Gentlewoman, thus much is a debt of courtesy which fashionable strangers pay each other at a kind meeting. Then there's more than one, due to the knowledge I have of your nearness. I am bold to come again, and now salute you by the name of daughter, which may challenge more than ordinary respect.
Why, this is well now, and I think few mothers of 80 will mend it.
What I can bid you welcome to is mean, but make it all your own. We are full of wants and cannot welcome worth.
Now, this is scurvy. These old folks talk of nothing but defects because they grow so full of them themselves.
Kind mother, there is nothing can be wanting to her that does enjoy all her desires. Heaven send a quiet peace with this man's love, and I am as rich as virtue can be poor. But I have forsook friends, fortunes, and my country, and hourly I rejoice in't. Here's my friends, and few is the good number. Thy successes, howe'er they look, I will still name my fortunes. Hopeful or spiteful, they shall all be welcome. I'll call this place the place of my birth now, and rightly too. For here my love was born, and that's the birthday of a woman's joys. You have not bid me welcome since I came.
That I did, questionless.
No, sure, how wast? I've quite forgot it.
Thus.
Oh, sir, it is true. Now I remember well. I have done thee wrong. Pray, take it again, sir.
How many of these wrongs could I put up in an hour and turn up the glass for twice as many more?
Will it please you to walk in, daughter?
Thanks, sweet mother. The voice of her that bare me is not more pleasing.
Though my own care and my rich master's trust lay their commands both on my factorship, this day and night I'll know no other business but Bianca. 'Tis a bitterness to think upon tomorrow, that I must leave her still to the sweet hopes of the week's end, that pleasure should be so restrained and curbed after the course of a rich workmaster that never pays till Saturday night. Oh, fair-eyed Florence, didst thou but know what a most matchless jewel thou now art mistress of, a pride would take thee, able to shoot destruction through the bloods of all thy youthful sons. But 'tis great policy to keep choice treasures in obscurest places. Should we show thieves our wealth, 'twould make em bolder. The jewel is cased up from all men's eyes. Who could imagine now a gem were kept of that great value under this plain roof? But how in times of absence? What assurance of this restraint then? Yes, yes, there's one with her. Old mothers know the world, and such as these, when sons lock chests, are good to look to keys.
What, has your daughter seen him yet, Fabrizio?
No matter, she shall love him.
Nay, let's have fair play. He has been now my ward some 15 years, and 'tis my purpose, as time calls upon me, to tender him a wife. Now, sir, this wife I'd fain elect out of a daughter of yours. You see, my meaning's fair. If now this daughter, so tender, that let me come to your own phrase, sir, should offer to refuse him, I were pencilled. Thus am I fain to calculate all my words for the meridian of a foolish old man to take his understanding. What do you answer, sir?
She shall love him, Guardiano.
Yet again. And shall she have no reason for this love?
Why, do you think that women love with reason?
I perceive fools are not at all hours foolish, no more than wise men wise.
I had a wife. She ran mad for me. She had no reason for it, for what I could perceive. What think you, Lady Sister?
You're an experienced widow, Lady Livia. I pray, let your opinion come amongst us.
I must offend you, then, if truth will do it, and take my niece's part, and called injustice to force her love to one she never saw. Maids should both see and like, all little enough. If they love truly after that, 'tis well. Counting the time she takes one man till death, That's a hard task, I tell you.
Why is not man tied to the same observance, lady sister, and in one woman?
It is enough for him. Besides, he tastes of many sundry dishes that we poor wretches never lay our lips to, as obedience, forsooth, subjection, duty, and such kickshaws, all of our making, but served into them. And if we lick a finger, then sometimes we are not to blame. Your best cooks use it.
Thou art a sweet lady, sister, and a witty.
A witty? Oh, the bud of commendation fit for a girl of 16. I am blown, man. I should be wise by this time. And, for instance, I have buried my two husbands in good fashion and never been more to marry.
No, why so, lady?
Because the third shall never bury me. I think I am more than witty. How think you, sir?
I have paid often fees to a counsellor has had a weaker brain.
Then I must tell you, your money was soon parted.
Fetch her now, Fabrizio.
Where is my niece? Let her be sent for straight if you have any hope to approve a wedding. 'Tis fitty, Faith, she should have one sight of him and stop upon, and not be joined in haste, as if they went to stock a newfound land.
Look out, her uncle, and you're sure of her. Those two are ne'er asunder. They have been heard in argument at midnight. Moonshine nights are noondays with them. They walk out their sleeps, or rather at those hours appear like those that walk in them, for so they did to me. Look you, I told you truth. They're like a chain. Draw but one link, all follows.
Let's lose no time now. Begin, good uncle, you that feel it. What is it?
You, of all creatures, niece, must never hear on't. It is not a thing ordained for you to know.
Not I, sir. All my joys that word cuts off. You made profession once you loved me best. 'Twas but profession.
On with your mask, Isabella. For 'tis your part to see now and not be seen. Go to, make use of your time. See what you mean to like. Nay, and I charge you, like what you see. Do you hear me? There's no dallying. The gentleman's almost 20, and 'tis time he were getting lawful heirs, and you are breeding on him.
Good father.
Tell me not of tongues and rumours. You'll say the gentleman is somewhat simple. The better for a husband were you wise. Those that marry fools live ladies' lives. On with the mask, I'll hear no more. He's rich. The fool's hid under bushels, Isabella.
Hush, he comes.
He came to the field with his own capstick. Yet gave him the first hand.
My lady's tailor.
I tickled him when I came once to my tippings.
Now you talk on him. There was a poulterer's wife made a great complaint of you last night to your guardian. That you struck a bump in her child's head as big as an egg.
An egg may prove a chicken. Then in time the poulterer's wife will get by it. When I am in game, I am furious. Came my mother's eyes in my way, I would not lose a fair end. No, were she alive, but with one tooth in her head, I should venture the striking out of that. I think of nobody when I am in play, I'm so earnest. Coach me, my guardian. Prithee, lay up my cat and cat stick safe.
Yes, sir.
Ward.
I feel myself after any exercise horribly prone. Let me but ride. I'm lusty, a cock-off straight of it.
Do you hear me, sir?
Follow me. I must new school you.
School me? I scorn that now. I'm past schooling. I'm not so base to learn to write and read. I was born to better fortunes in my cradle.
How do you like him, girl? This is your husband. Like him or like him not, wench, you shall have him, and you shall love him.
Oh, soft there, brother. Though you be a justice, your warrant cannot be served out of your liberty. You may compel out of the power of father things merely harsh to a maid's flesh and blood, but when you come to love, there the soil alters. You're in another country where your laws are no more set by than the cacklings of geese in Rome's great capital.
Marry him she shall, then. Let her agree upon love afterwards.
You speak now, brother, like an honest mortal that walks upon the earth with a staff. You were up in the clouds before. Oh. You'd command love, and so do most old folks that go without it. Hippolyto, my best and dearest brother, prithee, cheer up thy niece with special counsel.
I would 'twere fit to speak to her when I would, but 'twas not a thing ordained. Heaven has forbid it. Feed inward you my sorrows. Make no noise. Consume me silent. Let me be stark dead ere the world know I'm sick.
Marry a fool?
Can there be greater misery to a woman that means to keep her days true to her husband and know no other man? So virtue wills it. Why, how can I obey and honour him, but I must needs commit idolatry? A fool is but the image of a man, and that but ill-made neither. Oh, the heartbreakings of miserable maids where love's enforced! The best condition is but bad enough. When women have their choices, commonly they do but buy their thraldoms, and bring great portions to men to keep them in subjection. But, our lady, no misery surmounts a woman's. Men buy their slaves, but women buy their masters. Yet honesty and love makes all this happy, and next to angels the most blessed estate. Oh, but this marriage!
What, are you sad too, Uncle? Faith, then there's a whole household down together. Where shall I go to seek my comfort now when my best friend's distressed? What is to flix you, sir?
Faith, nothing but one grief that will not leave me, and now 'tis welcome. Every man has something to bring him to his end, and this will serve. Joined with your father's cruelty to you, that helps it forward.
Oh, be cheered, sweet uncle. How long's it been upon you? I ne'er spied it. What a dull sight have I. How long, I pray, sir?
Since I first saw you, niece, and left Bologna.
And could you deal so unkindly with my heart to keep it up so long hid from my pity? Alas, how shall I trust your love hereafter? Have we passed through so many arguments, and missed of that still the most needful one? Walked out whole nights together in discourses, and the main point forgot?
Know the worst, then. I love thee dearlier than an uncle can.
Why, so you ever said, and I believed it.
So simple is the goodness of her thoughts, they understand not yet the unhallowed language of a near sinner. I must yet be forced, though blushes be my venture, to come nearer. As a man loves his wife, so love I thee.
What's that? Methought I heard ill news come toward me. Well, farewell, all friendly solaces and discourses. I learn to live without ye, for your dangers are greater than your comforts. What's become of truth in love, if such we cannot trust, when blood that should be love is mixed with lust?
Methinks I'm e'en as dull now at departure as men observe great gallants the next day after a revels. You shall see em look much in my fashion if you mark em well. 'Tis e'en a second hell to part from pleasure where man has got a smack on't. See, and she be not got on purpose now into the window to look after me. I have no power to go now, and I should be hanged. Farewell, all business. I desire no more than I see yonder. Let the goods at key look to themselves. Why should I toil my youth out? Oh, fie! What a religion have I leaped into! Get out again for shame! And man loves best when his cares most. That shows his zeal to love. Good to make sport withal when the chest's full and the long warehouse cracks. 'Tis time of day for us to be more wise. 'Tis early with us.
I perceive, sir, you're not gone yet. I have good hope you'll stay now.
Farewell, I must not.
Come, come, pray return. Tomorrow, adding but a little care more, we'll dispatch all as well. Believe me, 'twill, sir.
I could well wish myself where you would have me. But love that's wanton must be ruled a while by that that's careful, or all goes to ruin. Once more, farewell.
But this one night, I prithee.
Alas, I'm in for 20 if I stay, and then for 40 more. If I stay any longer, I shall turn an everlasting spendthrift. As you love to be maintained well, do not call me again. For then I shall not care which end goes forward. Again, farewell to thee.
Since it must, farewell too.
Faith, daughter, you are to blame. You take the course to make him an ill husband, troth you do. And that disease is catching, I can tell you. I am soon taken by a young man's blood, and that with little urging. Nay, fie, see now. What cause have you to weep? Would I had no more that have lived 80 years? Trust me, you are to blame. His absence cannot last 5 days at utmost. Why should those tears be fetched forth?
What's the meaning of this hurry? Can you tell, Mother?
Oh, what a memory have I! I see by that years come upon me. Why, 'tis a yearly custom and solemnity religiously observed by the Duke and State to St. Mark's Temple, the 15th of April. See if my dull brains have not quite forgot it. It was happily questioned of thee. Now you shall see our Duke. A goodly gentleman of his years.
Is he old, then?
About some 55.
That's no great age in man. He's then at best for wisdom and for judgment.
The Lord Cardinal, his noble brother. There's a comely gentleman, and greater in devotion than in blood.
He's worthy to be marked.
I hear him near us now. Do you stand easily?
Exceeding well, good mother.
Take this stool.
I need it not, I thank you.
Use your will, then. How like you, daughter?
'Tis a noble state. Methinks my soul could dwell upon the reverence of such a solemn and most worthy custom. Did not the Duke look up? Methought he saw us.
Oh, that's everyone's conceit that sees a Duke. If he looks steadfastly, he looks straight at them. When he, perhaps, good, careful gentleman, never minds any. But the look he casts is at his own intentions, and his object only the public good.
Most likely so.
Come, come. We'll end this argument below.
A strange affection, brother. And when I think on't, I wonder how thou camest by it.
E'en as easily as man comes by destruction, which oft times he wears in his own bosom.
Is the world so populous in women, and creation so prodigal in beauty and so various, yet does love turn point to thine own blood? 'Tis somewhat too unkindly. Must thine eye dwell evilly on the fairness of thy kindred, and seek not where it should? It is confined now in a narrower prison than was made for it.
Never was man's misery so soon summed up, counting how truly.
Nay, I love you so that I shall venture much to keep a change from you, so fearful as this grief will bring upon you. Oh, prithee, sweet brother, let not passion waste the goodness of thy time and of thy fortune. Thou keep'st the treasure of that life I love as dearly as mine own. And if you think my former words too bitter, which were ministered by truth and zeal, 'tis but a hazarding of grace and virtue, and I can bring forth as pleasant fruits as sensuality wishes in all her teeming longings. This I can do.
Oh, nothing that can make my wishes perfect.
Sir, I could give as shrewd a lift to chastity as any she that wears a tongue in Florence. She'd need be a good horsewoman and sit fast, whom my strong argument could not fling at last. Oh, prithee, take courage, man. Though I should counsel another to despair, yet I am pitiful to thy afflictions and will venture hard. I will not name for what, 'tis not handsome. Find you the proof and praise me.
Then I fear me I shall not praise you in haste.
This is the comfort. You are not the first, brother, has attempted things more forbidden than this seems to be. I'll minister all cordials now to you, because I cheer you up, sir. When shall you see her?
Never in comfort more.
You are so impatient, too.
Will you believe? Death, she has forsworn my company and sealed it with a blush.
So, I perceive all lies upon my hands, then. Well, the more glory when the work's finished.
Madam.
How now, sir? The news?
Your niece, the virtuous Isabella, is lighted now to see you.
That's great fortune. Sir, your stars bless. You, Simple, lead her in.
Madam.
What's this to me?
Your absence, gentle brother. I must bestir my wits for you.
Aye, to great purpose.
I take a course to pity him so much now that I have none left for modesty and myself. This 'tis to grow so liberal.
You have few sisters that love their brother's ease above their own honest ease. But if you question my affections, that will be found my fault.
Niece, your love's welcome. Alas, what draws that paleness to thy cheeks, this enforced marriage towards?
It helps, good aunt, amongst some other griefs. But those I'll keep locked up in modest silence, for their sorrows would shame the tongue more than they grieve thought.
Indeed, the ward is simple.
Simple? That were well. Why, one might make good shift with such a husband, but he's a fool entailed, he haunts downright it.
And knowing this, I hope it is at your choice to take or refuse, niece.
Oh, you see, it is not. I loathe him more than beauty can hate death or age a spiteful neighbour.
Let it appear, then.
How can I? Being born with that obedience that must submit unto a father's will, if he command, I must of force consent.
Alas, poor soul, be not offended, prithee, if I set by the name of niece a while and bring in pity in a stranger fashion. It lies here in this breast, would cross this match.
How cross it, aunt?
Aye, and give thee more liberty than thou hast reason yet to apprehend.
Sweet aunt, in goodness keep not hid from me what may befriend my life.
Yes, yes, I must. When I return to reputation and think upon the solemn vow I made to your dead mother, my most loving sister, as long as I have her memory twixt mine eyelids, look for no pity now.
Kind, sweet, dear aunt!
No, 'twas a secret I have took special care of, delivered by your mother on her deathbed. That's 9 years now, and I'll not part from't yet, though ne'er was fitter time nor greater cause for it.
As you desire the praises of a virgin...
Say I should trust you now upon an oath, and give you in a secret that would start you. How am I sure of you in faith and silence?
Equal assurance may I find in mercy as you for that in me.
It shall suffice. Then know, however custom has made good, for reputation's sake, the names of niece and aunt, twixt you and I, we are nothing less.
How's that?
I told you I should start your blood. You are no more allied to any of us, save what the courtesy of opinion casts upon your mother's memory and your name, than the merest stranger is, or one begot at Naples, when the husband lies at Rome. There's so much odds betwixt us. Since your knowledge wished more instruction, and I have your oath in pledge for silence, it makes me talk the freelier. Did never the report of that famed Spaniard, Marquis of Coria, fill your ear with wonder?
Yes, what of him? I have heard his deeds of honour often related when we lived in Naples.
You heard the praises of your father, then?
My father?
That was he. But all this business so carefully and so discreetly carried that fame received no spot by it, not a blemish. Your mother was so wary to her end... None knew it but her conscience and her friend, till penitent confession made it mine, and now my pity, yours. It had been long else. And I hope care and love alike in you, made good by oath, will see it take no wrong now. How weak his commands now, whom you call father! How vain all his enforcements, your obedience! And what a largeness in your will and liberty to take, or to reject, or to do both, for fools will serve to father wise men's children. Oh, this you have time to think on. Oh, my wench, nothing o'erthrows our sex but indiscretion. I pray forget not but to call me aunt still. Take heed of that, it may be marked in time else. But keep your thoughts to yourself from all the world, kindred or dearest friend. Nay, I entreat you, from him that all this while you have called uncle. And though you love him dearly, as I know his deserts claim as much e'en from a stranger, yet let not him know this. I prithee, do not.
Believe my oath, I will not.
Why, well said. Welcome, Hippolyto. She's thine own. Go.
Alas, fair flattery cannot cure my sorrows.
Have I passed so much time in ignorance,
and never had the means to know myself till this blessed hour. Thanks to her virtuous pity that brought it now to light. Would I had known it but one day sooner. He had then received in favours what poor gentleman he took in bitter words, a slight and harsh reward for one of his deserts.
There seems to me now more anger and distraction in her looks. I'm gone. I'll not endure a second storm. The memory of the first is not past yet.
Are you returned? You comforts of my life in this man's presence. I will keep you fast now, and sooner part eternally from the world than my good joys in you. Prithee, forgive me. I did but chide and jest. The best loves use it sometimes. It sets an edge upon affection. When we invite our best friends to a feast, 'tis not all sweetmeats that we set before them. They're somewhat sharp and salt, both to whet appetite and make them taste their wine well. So, methinks, after a friendly, sharp, and savoury chiding, a kiss tastes wondrous well and full of the grape. How thinkest thou, dost not?
'Tis so excellent, I know not how to praise it. What to say to it?
This marriage shall go forward.
With the ward? Are you in earnest?
'Twould be ill for us else.
For us? How means she that?
Troth, I begin to be so well, methinks, within this hour. For all this match able to kill one's heart, nothing can pull me down now. She that comes once to be a housekeeper must not look every day to farewell, sir, like a young waiting gentlewoman in service. For she feeds commonly as a lady does. No good bit passes her, but she gets a taste on't. But when she comes to keep house for herself, she's glad of some choice cates then, once a week, or twice at most, and glad if she can get 'em. So must affection learn to fare with thankfulness. Pray make your love no stranger, sir, that's all.
This is beyond me. Never came joy so unexpectedly to meet desires in man. How came she thus? What has she done to her? Can he tell? 'Tis beyond sorcery, this. Drugs or love powders. Some art that has no name, sure. Strange to me of all the wonders I have met withal throughout my 10 years' travels. But I'm thankful for it. This marriage now must of necessity forward. It is the only veil wit can devise to keep our acts hid from sin-piercing eyes.
How, sir, a gentlewoman so young, so fair as you set forth, spied at the widow's window?
I know not how she came by her, but I'll swear she's the prime gallant for a face in Florence, and no doubt other parts follow their leader. The Duke himself first spied her at the window, then in a rapture beckoned me and pointed to the wonder warily, as one that feared she would draw in her splendour too soon if too much gazed at. I ne'er knew him so infinitely taken with a woman, nor can I blame his appetite or tax his raptures of slight folly. She's a creature able to draw a state from serious business, and make it their best piece to do her service. What course shall we devise? Spoke twice now.
Twice?
'Tis beyond your apprehension how strangely that one look has catched his heart. 'Twould prove but too much worth in wealth and favour to those should work his peace.
And if I do't not, or at least come as near it, if your art will take a little pains and second me, as any wench in Florence of my standing, I'll quite give o'er and shut up shop in cunning.
'Tis for the Duke. And if I fail your purpose, all means to come by riches or advancement, miss me and skip me over.
Let the old woman then be sent for with all speed, then I'll begin.
A good conclusion follow, and a sweet one after this stale beginning with old ware.
Within there.
Madam, do you call?
I entreat the widow's company. Do you hear, ma'am?
Yes, madam.
That brings her quickly.
I would 'twere done. The Duke waits the good hour, and I wait the good fortune that may spring from't. Signor Fabrizio.
Oh, sir, I bring an alteration in my mouth
an
now.
An alteration? No wise speech, I hope. He means not to talk wisely, does he, Trump? Good. What's the change, I pray, sir?
A new change?
Another yet. Faith, there's enough already.
Isabella loves him now.
What does she, sir?
Affects him beyond thought, who but the ward, forsooth. No talk but of the ward. She would have him to choose above all the men she ever saw. My will goes not so fast as her consent now. Her duty gets before my commands to.
Why then, sir, if you'll have me speak my thoughts, I smell 'twill be a match.
I am a sweet young couple, if I have any judgment.
Faith, that's little. Let her be sent tomorrow before noon and handsomely tricked up. For about that time I mean to bring her in and tender her to him.
I warrant you for handsome. I will see her things laid ready, everyone in order, and have some part of her tricked up tonight.
Why, well said.
It was a use her mother had when she was invited to an early wedding. She'd dress her head all night, sponge up herself, and give her neck 3 lathers.
Ne'er a halter?
On with her chain of pearl, her ruby bracelets, lay ready all her tricks and jig-and-bobs.
So must your daughter.
I'll about it straight, sir.
How he sweats in the foolish zeal of fatherhood. And here comes his sweet son-in-law that shall be. They're both allied in wit before the marriage. What will they be hereafter when they are nearer?
Now, young heir.
Well, what's the business after shuttlecock now?
Tomorrow you shall see the gentlewoman must be your wife.
My wife? Well, what could she do?
Nay, that's a question you should ask yourself, ward, when you're alone together.
Well, that's as I list. A wife's to be asked anywhere, I hope. I'll ask her in a congregation if I have a mind to it, and so save a license.
Let me be at the choosing of your beloved, if you desire a woman of good parts.
Well, thou shalt, sweet Sordido.
I have a plaguey guess. Let me alone to see what she is. If I but look upon her, way, I know all the faults to a hair that you may refuse her for.
Dost thou? I prithee let me hear them, Sordido.
Well, mark them then. I have them all in rhyme. The wife your guardian ought to tender should be pretty, straight, and slender. Her hair not short, her foot not long, her hand not huge, nor too loud her tongue. No pearl in eye, nor ruby in her nose, no burn or cut but what the catalogue shows. She must have teeth, and that's no black ones. Ooh. And kiss most sweet when she does smack ones. And 2 things more, which I forgot to tell ye, she neither must have bump in back nor belly. These are the faults that will not make her pass.
And if I spy not these, I am a rank ass.
Nay, more. By right, sir, you should see her naked, for that's the ancient order.
See her naked? Well, that were good sport, if faith. Oh, but stay, how, if she should desire to see me so too? Well, I were in a sweet case then, such a foul skin.
But you have a clean shirt, and that makes amends, sir.
Oh, I will not see her naked for that trick, though.
Then take her with all her faults, with her clothes on. And they may hide her number with a bum roll. Faith, choosing of a wench in a huge farthingale is like the buying of ware under a great penthouse. What with the deceit of one and the false light of the other? Mark my speeches. He may have a diseased wench in his bed and rotten stuff in his breeches.
Widow, come. I have a great quarrel to you. Faith, I must charge you that you must be sent for. You make yourself so strange, never come at us, and yet so near a neighbour, and so unkind. Troth, you are to blame. You cannot be more welcome to any house in Florence, that I'll tell you.
My thanks must needs acknowledge so much, madam.
How can you be so strange, then? I sit here sometimes whole days together without company, and should be happy in society, which I so well affect as that of yours. I know you're alone, too.
Why should not we, like two kind neighbours, then supply the wants of one another, having tongue discourse, experience in the world, and such kind helps, to laugh down time and meet age merrily?
Age? Madam, you speak mirth. 'Tis at my door, but a long journey from your ladyship yet.
My faith, I'm 39, every stroke wench. And 'tis a general observation, monks, knights, wives, or widows, we account ourselves then old when young men's eyes leave looking at. 'Tis a true rule amongst us, and ne'er failed yet in any but in one that I remember. Indeed, she had a friend at 40. Marry, she paid well for him, and in the end he kept a quean or two with her own money that robbed her of her plate and cut her throat.
She had her punishment in this world, madam, and a fair warning to all other women that they live chaste at 50.
Aye, or never, wench. Come, now I have thy company, I'll not part with it till after supper.
Yes, I must crave pardon, madam.
I swear you shall stay supper. We have no strangers, woman, none but my sojourners and I, Guardiano and the young heir, his ward. You know our company.
Some other time I will make bold with you, madam.
Faith, you shall not go. Do you think I'll be forsworn?
Tis a great while till supper time. I'll take my leave then now, madam, and come again in the evening, since your ladyship will have it so.
In the evening? By my troth, wench, I'll keep you while I have you. Oh, you have great business, sure, to sit alone at home. I wonder strangely what pleasure you take in't. What to me now, I should be ever at one neighbour's house or other all day long, having no charge or none to chide you if you go or stay, who may live merrier, I, or more at heart's ease. Come, we'll to chess or draughts. There's 100 tricks to drive out time till supper. Never fear it, wench.
I'll but make one step home and return straight, madam.
Come, I'll not trust you. You use more excuses to your kind friends than ever I knew any. What business can you have if you be sure you've locked the doors? One afternoon, so much to spend here. Say, I should entreat you now to lie a night or two, or a week with me, or leave your own house for a month together. It were a kindness that long neighbourhood and friendship might well hope to prevail in. Would you deny such a request? Your faith, speak truth, and freely.
I were then uncivil, madam.
Go to, then. Set your men. We have whole nights of mirth together ere we be much older, wench.
To tell you truth, I left a gentlewoman e'en sitting all alone, which is uncomfortable, especially to young bloods.
Another excuse?
No, as I hope for health, madam. That's the truth. Please you to send and see.
What gentlewoman, pish?
Wife to my son, indeed, but not known, madam, to any but yourself.
Now I beshrew you. Could you be so unkind to her and me to come and not bring her? Faith, 'tis not friendly.
I feared to be too bold.
Too bold? Oh, what's become of the true-hearty love was wont to be monks' neighbours in old time?
And she's a stranger, madam.
The more should be her welcome. When is courtesy in better practice than when 'tis employed in entertaining strangers? I could chide, if faith, leave her behind, poor gentlewoman, alone too. Make some amends and send for her betimes. Go.
Here is Bianca, madam.
Gentlewoman, you are most welcome. Trust me, as courtesy can make one, or respect due to the presence of you.
I give you thanks, lady.
I heard you were alone, and had appeared an ill condition in me, though I knew you not, nor never saw you, to have kept your company here from you, and left you all solitary. I rather ventured upon boldness then as the least fault, and wished your presence here. A thing most happily motioned of this gentleman, whom I request you for his care and pity to honour and reward with your acquaintance. A gentleman that lady's right stands for, that's his profession.
'Tis a noble one, and honours my acquaintance.
All my intentions are servants to such mistresses.
'Tis your modesty, it seems, that makes your desert speak so low, sir.
Come, widow. Look you, lady, here's our business. Are we not well employed, think you? An old quarrel between us that will never come to an end.
No, and methinks there's men enough to part you, lady.
Oh, but they set us on. Let us come off as well as we can, poor souls. Men care no farther.
I pray sit down, forsooth, if you have the patience to look upon two weak and tedious gamesters.
Faith, madam, set these by till evening. You'll have enough on then. The gentlewoman, being a stranger, would take more delight to see your rooms and pictures.
Marry, good sir, and well remembered. I beseech you show them her. That will beguile time well. Pray heartily do, sir. I'll do as much for you. Here, take these keys. Show her the monument, too. And that's a thing everyone sees not. You can witness that, widow.
And that's worth sight indeed, madam.
Kind lady, I fear I came to be a trouble to you.
Oh, nothing less, forsooth.
And to this courteous gentleman, that wears a kindness in his breast so noble and bounteous to the welcome of a stranger.
If you but give acceptance to my service, you do the greatest grace and honour to me that courtesy can merit.
I were to blame else, and out of fashion much. I pray you lead, sir.
After a game or two, where for you, gentlefolk?
We wish no better seconds in society than your discourses, madam, and your partners there.
Alas, poor widow, I shall be too hard for thee.
You're cunning at the game, I'll be sworn, madam. It will be found so ere I give you over.
She that can place her man well...
As you do, madam.
As I shall, wench, can never lose her game. Nay, the Black King's mine.
Cry your mercy, madam.
And this my queen.
Ah, I see it now.
Here's a duke will strike a sure stroke for the game anon. Your pawn cannot come back to relieve itself.
I know that, madam.
Oh. You play well the whilst. How she belies her skill. I hold two ducats. I give you check and mate to your white king. Simplicity itself, your saintish king there.
Well, ere now, lady, I have seen the fall of subtlety. Play on.
Trust me, sir, mine eye ne'er met with fairer ornaments.
Nay, livelier, I'm persuaded neither Florence nor Venice can produce.
Sir, my opinion takes your part highly.
There's a better piece yet than all these.
Not possible, sir.
Believe it. You'll say so when you see it. Turn but your eye now. You're upon it presently.
Oh, sir.
He's gone, beauty. Pish, look not after him. He's but a vapour that when the sun appears is seen no more.
Oh, treachery to honour.
Prithee, tremble not. I feel thy breast shake like a turtle panting under a loving hand that makes much on't. Why art so fearful? As I'm friend to brightness, there's nothing but respect and honour near thee. You know me. You've seen me. Here's a heart can witness I have seen thee.
The more's my danger.
Yes, the more's thy happiness. Pish, strive not, sweet. The strength were excellent employed in love now. But here 'tis spent amiss. Strive not to seek thy liberty, and keep me still in prison.
Oh, my lord.
I am not here in vain. I've but the leisure to think on that, and thou'lt be soon resolved. Take warning, I beseech thee. Thou seem'st to me a creature so composed of gentleness, delicate meekness, I should be sorry the least force should lay an unkind touch upon thee.
Oh, my extremity! My lord, what seek you?
Love.
'Tis gone already. I have a husband.
That's a single comfort. Take a friend to him.
That's a double mischief, or else there's no religion.
Do not tremble at fears of thine own making.
No, great lord. Make me not bold with death and deeds of ruin, because they fear not you. Me they must fright. I'm not like those that take their soundest sleeps in greatest tempests. Then wake I most, the weather fearfulest, and call for strength to virtue.
Sure, I think thou knowest the way to please me. I affect a passionate pleading above an easy yielding, but never pitied any. They deserve none that will not pity me. I can command, think upon that.
Why should you seek, sir, to take away that you can never give?
But I give better in exchange. Wealth, honour. She that is fortunate in a duke's favour lights on a tree that bears all women's wishes. If your own mother saw you pluck fruit there, she would commend your wit and praise the time of your nativity. Take hold of glory. Come, play the wise wench, and provide forever. Let storms come when they list, they find thee sheltered. Should any doubt arise, let nothing trouble thee, but trust in our love for the managing of all to thy heart's peace. We'll walk together and show a thankful joy for both our fortunes.
Did not I say my duke would fetch you over, widow?
I think you spoke in earnest when you said it, madam.
And my black king makes all the haste he can too.
Well, madam, we may meet with him in time yet.
I have given the blind mate twice.
Oh, you may see, madam, my eyes begin to fail.
I'll swear they do, wench.
I can but smile as often as I think on't. How prettily the poor fool was beguiled, how unexpectedly. It's a witty age. Never were finer snares for women's honesties than are devised in these days. No spider's web made of a daintier thread than are now practised to catch love's flesh fly by the silver wing. Yet to prepare her stomach by degrees to Cupid's feast, because I saw 'twas queasy, I showed her naked pictures by the way, a bit to stay the appetite.
The game's e'en at the best now. You may see, widow, how all things draw to an end.
E'en so do I, madam.
Has not my duke bestirred himself?
Oh, yes, faith, madam, has done me all the mischief in this game.
Has showed himself in's kind.
Oh, in's kind, call you it. I may swear that.
Yes, faith, and keep your oath.
List, there's someone coming down. Tis she.
Now, bless me from a blasting. I saw that now, fearful for any woman's eye to look on. Oh, infectious mists and mildews hang at his eyes. The weather of a doomsday dwells upon him. Yet since mine honour's leprous, why should I preserve that fair that caused the leprosy? Come, poison, all at once. Thou! In whose business the bane of virtue broods, I'm bound in soul eternally to curse thy smooth-browed treachery that wore the veil of a friendly welcome. And I, a stranger, think upon't, 'tis worth it. Murders piled up upon a guilty spirit at his last breath will not lie heavier than this betraying act upon thy conscience. So I hate thee. Slave.
Well, so the Duke loved me, I fare not much amiss then. Two great feasts who seldom come together in one day, we must not look for them.
What? At it still, mother?
You see, we sit by it. Are you so soon returned?
So lively and so cheerful. A good sign, that.
You have not seen all since, sure.
That have I, mother. The monument and all. I'm so beholding to this kind, honest, courteous gentleman. You'd little think it, mother. Showed me all, had me from place to place, so fashionably. The kindness of some people, how it exceeds. Faith, I have seen that I little thought to see the morning when I rose.
Nay, so I told you before you saw it would prove worth your sight. I give you great thanks for my daughter, sir, and all your kindness towards her.
Oh, good widow, much good may do her. 40 weeks hence, if faith.
May it please you, madam, to walk in. Supper's upon the table.
Yes, we come.
Will please you, Bianca?
Thanks, virtuous lady. You're damned bored. I'll follow you, forsooth. Pray, take my mother in. An old ass go with you. This gentleman and I vow not to part.
Widow, I'll follow you.
Is so? Damned bored? Are you so bitter? 'Tis but want of youth. Her tender modesty is seasick a little, being not accustomed to the breaking billow of woman's wavering faith blown with temptations. 'Tis but a qualm of honour, 'twill away. A little bitter for the time, but lasts not. Sin tastes at the first draught like wormwood water. But drunk again, 'tis nectar ever after.
I would my son would either keep at home or I were in my grave. She was but one day abroad, but ever since she's grown so cutted, there's no speaking to her. Whether the sight of great cheer at my lady's and such mean fare at home worked discontent in her, I know not. But I'm sure she's strangely altered. I'm weary of my part. There's nothing likes her. I know not how to please her here alate. And here she comes.
This is the strangest house for all defects, as ever gentlewoman made shift withal to pass away her love in. Why is there not a cushion cloth of drawn work, or some fair cut work pinned up in my bedchamber, a silver and gilt casting bottle hung by it?
She talks of things here my whole state's not worth.
Never a green silk quilt is there of the house, mother, to cast upon my bed?
No, by troth is there, nor orange tawny neither.
Here's a house for a young gentlewoman to be got with child in.
Yes, simple though you make it. There has been 3 got any year in't, since you move me to it. And all as sweet-faced children and as lovely as you'll be mother of. I will not spare you. What? Cannot children be begot, think you, without gilt casting bottles? Yes, and as sweet ones. The miller's daughter brings forth as white boys as she that bathes herself with milk and bean flour.
Troth, you speak wondrous well for your old house here. 'Twill shortly fall down at your feet to thank you, or stoop when you go to bed like a good child to ask you blessing. Must I live in want because my fortune matched me with your son? Wives do not give away themselves to husbands to the end to be quite cast away. They look to be the better used and tendered rather, highly respected and maintained the richer. They are well rewarded else for the free gift of their whole life to a husband. I ask less now than what I had at home when I was a maid and at my father's house. Kept short of that which a wife knows she must have, nay, and will, mother, if she be not a fool born. And report went of me that I could wrangle for what I wanted when I was 2 hours old. And by that copy this land still I hold. You hear me, mother?
Aye, too plain, methinks. And were I somewhat deafer when you spake, 'twere ne'er a whit the worse for my quietness. 'Tis the most sudden, strangest alteration, and the most subtlest that e'er wit at 60 was puzzled to find out. I know no cause for't. But she's no more like the gentlewoman at first than I am like her that never lay with man yet. And she's a very young thing, where'er she be. When she first lighted here, I told her then how mean she should find all things. She was pleased, forsooth, none better. I laid open all defects to her. She was contented still. But the devil's in her. Nothing contents her now. Tonight my son promised to be at home. Would he were come once, for I'm weary of my charge, and life too.
How near am I now to a happiness that earth exceeds not? Not another like it. The treasures of the deep are not so precious as are the concealed comforts of a man locked up in a woman's love. I scent the air of blessings when I come but near the house. What a delicious breath marriage sends forth. The violet bed's not sweeter. Honest wedlock is like a banqueting house built in a garden, on which the spring's chaste flowers take delight to cast their modest odours. When base lust, with all her powders, paintings, and best pride, is but a fair house built by a ditch side. When I behold a glorious, dangerous strumpet, sparkling in beauty and destruction, too, both at a twinkling, I do liken straight her beautified body to a goodly temple that's built on vaults where carcasses lie rotting. And so, by little and little, I shrink back again and quench desire with a cool meditation. And I'm as well, methinks. Now for a welcome able to draw men's envies upon man. A kiss now that will hang upon my lip as sweet as morning dew upon a rose and full as long. After a 5 days' fast, she'll be so greedy now and cling about me. I take care how I shall be rid of her. And here it begins.
Oh, sir, you're welcome home.
Oh, is Leontio come? I am glad on't.
Is that all? Sure, you're not well, Bianca. How does, prithee?
I have been better than I am at this time.
Alas, I thought so.
Nay, I have been worse, too, than now you see me, sir.
I'm glad thou mend'st, yet I feel my heart mend, too. How came it to thee? Has anything disliked thee in my absence?
No, certain. I have had the best content that Florence can afford.
Thou makest the best, aunt. Speak, mother, what's the cause? You must needs know.
Troth, I know none, son. Let her speak herself.
Methinks this house stands nothing to my mind. I'd have some pleasant lodging in the High Street, sir. Or if 'twere near the court, sir, that were much better. 'Tis a sweet recreation for a gentlewoman to stand in a bay window and see gallants.
Now, I have another temper, a mere stranger to that of yours, it seems. I should delight to see none but yourself.
I praise not that. Too fond is as unseemly as too churlish. I would not have a husband of that proneness to kiss me before company for a world. Beside, 'tis tedious to see one thing still, sir, be it the best that ever heart affected. Nay, were't yourself, whose love had power, you know, to bring me from my friends, I would not stand thus and gaze upon you always. Troth, I could not, sir, as good be blind and have no use of sight as look on one thing still. What's the eye's treasure but change of objects? You are learned, sir. And no, I speak not ill. 'Tis full as virtuous for woman's eye to look on several men as for her heart, sir, to be fixed on one.
Now thou comest home to me. A kiss for that word.
No matter for a kiss, sir. Let it pass. 'Tis but a toy. Will not so much as mind it. Let's talk of other business and forget it. What news now of the pirates? Any stirring? Prithee, discourse a little.
I am glad he's here yet, to see her tricks himself. I had lied monstrously if I had told them first.
Speak, what's the humour, sweet, you make your lips so strange? This was not wont.
Is there no kindness betwixt man and wife, unless they make a pigeon house of friendship and be still billing? 'Tis the idlest fondness that ever was invented, and 'tis pity it's grown a fashion for poor gentlewomen. Alas, sir, think of the world, how we shall live, grow serious. We have been married a whole fortnight now.
How? A whole fortnight? Why is that so long?
'Tis time to leave off dalliance. 'Tis a doctrine of your own teaching, if you be remembered, and I was bound to obey it.
Here's one fits him. This was well catched, i' faith, son, like a fellow that rids another country of a plague and brings it home with him to his own house. Who knocks?
Who's there now? Withdraw you, Bianca. Thou art a gem no stranger's eye must see. Aware thou art pleased now to look dull on me. You're welcome, sir. To whom your business, pray?
To one I see not here now.
Who should that be, sir?
A young gentlewoman I was sent to.
A young gentlewoman?
Aye, sir, about 16. Why look you wildly, sir?
at your strange error. You have mistook the house, sir. There's none such here, I assure you.
Well, I assure you, too, the man that sent me cannot be mistook.
Why? Who is't sent you, sir?
The Duke.
The Duke?
Yes. He entreats her company at a banquet at Lady Livia's house.
Troth, shall I tell you, sir? It is the most erroneous business that e'er your honest pains was abused with. I pray, forgive me if I smile a little. His Grace has been most wondrous ill-informed. Pray so return it, sir. What should her name be?
Well, that I shall tell you straight to. Bianca Capella.
How, sir? Bianca? What do you call the other?
Capella. Well, sir, it seems you know no such then.
Who should this be? I never heard of the name.
Well, then, 'tis a sure mistake.
What if you inquired in the next street, sir? I saw gallants there in the new houses that are built of late. 10 to 1, there you find her.
Nay, no matter. I will return the mistake and seek no further.
Use your own will and pleasure, sir. You are welcome. What shall I think of first? Come forth, Bianca. Thou art betrayed, I fear me.
Betrayed? How, sir?
The Duke knows thee.
Knows me? How know you that, sir?
Has got thy name. How comes this work about?
How should the Duke know me? Can you guess, mother?
Not I, with all my wits. Sure, we kept ours close.
Kept close? Not all the locks in Italy can keep you women so. You have been gadding, and ventured out at twilight to the court green yonder, and met the gallant bowlers coming home. Without your masks, too, both of you are behanged else. Thou hast been seen, Bianca, by some stranger. Never excuse it.
I'll not seek the way, sir. Do you think you have married me to mew me up, not to be seen? What would you make of me?
A good wife, nothing else.
Why, so are some that are seen every day, else the devil take them.
No more, then. I believe all virtue is in thee without an argument. 'Twas but thy hard chance to be seen somewhere. There lies all the mischief.
Now I can tell you, son, the time and place.
When? Where?
Oh, what wits have I! When you last took your leave, if you remember, you left us both at window.
Right, I know that.
And not the third part of an hour after, the Duke passed by in great solemnity to St. Mark's Temple. And to my apprehension, he looked up twice to the window.
Oh, there quickened the mischief of this hour.
If you call it mischief, it is a thing I fear I am conceived with.
Looked he up twice? And could you take no warning?
Why, once may do as much harm, son, as 1,000. Do not you know one spark has fired an house as well as a whole furnace?
My heart flames for it.
What's the matter?
The Duke himself has sent for you to Lady Livia's, to a banquet, forsooth.
Now I beshrew you heartily, has he so? And you, the man, would never yet vouchsafe to tell me on't till now. You show your loyalty and honesty at once, and so farewell, sir.
Bianca, whither now?
Why, to the Duke, sir. You say he sent for me?
But that does not mean to go, I hope.
No, I shall prove unmannerly, rude and uncivil, mad and imitate you. Come, mother, come, follow his humour no longer. We shall all be executed for treason shortly.
Oh, not I, Faith. I'll first obey the Duke and taste of a good banquet. I'm of thy mind. I'll step but up and fetch 2 handkerchiefs to pocket up some sweetmeats and o'ertake thee.
Oh, thou the ripe time of man's misery. Wedlock, when all his thoughts, like overladen trees, crack with the fruits they bear, in cares, in jealousies. Oh, that's a fruit that ripens hastily after 'tis knit to marriage. It begins as soon as the sun shines upon the bride, a little to show colour. What a peace has he that never marries. If he knew the benefit he enjoyed, or had the fortune to come and speak with me, he should know then the infinite wealth he had, and discern rightly the greatness of his treasure by my loss.
A good perfection to your thoughts.
The news, sir?
Though you were pleased of late to pin an error on me, you must not shift another in your stead too. The Duke has sent me for you.
How? For me, sir? I see then 'tis my theft. We are both betrayed. Well, I'm not the first to have stolen away a maid. I'll along with you, sir.
take you a special note of Isabella. She's here on purpose. I have invited her, her father, and her uncle to this banquet. Mark her behaviour well. It does concern you. And what her good parts are, as far as time and place can modestly require a knowledge of, shall be laid open to your understanding. You know, I'm both your guardian and your uncle. My care of you is double, ward and nephew, and I'll express it here.
Well, Faith, I should know her now by her mark among a thousand women. A little pretty, deft and tidy thing, you say?
Thou goest the right way. Still, take one mark more. Thou shalt ne'er find her hand out of her uncle's, or else his out of hers, if she be near him. He that weds her marries her uncle's heart, too.
Well, say you so, sir, then I'll be asked to the church to both of them.
Oh, fall back. Here comes the Duke.
Come, Bianca, of purpose sent into the world to show perfection once in woman. Glory of Florence, light into mine arm.
Yon comes Leontio, will chide you, sir. The storm is now in his heart, and would get nearer and fall here if it durst. It pours down yonder.
If that be he, the weather shall soon clear. List, and I'll tell thee how.
A kissing, too. I see 'tis plain lust now, adultery boldened. What will it prove anon when 'tis stuffed full of wine and sweetmeats, being so impudent, fasting?
We have heard of your good parts, sir, which we honour with our embrace and love. Is not the captainship of ruined citadel since the late deceased supplied by any yet?
By none, my lord.
Take it. The place is yours, then. And as faithfulness and desert grows, our favour shall grow with it.
The service of whole life give your grace thanks.
Come, sit, Bianca.
This is some good yet, and more than e'er I looked for. A fine bit to stay a cuckold's stomach. I'm like a thing that never was yet heard of, half merry and half mad. Much like a fellow that eats his meat with a good appetite and wears a plague sore that would fright a country. Or rather, like the barren, hardened ass that feeds on thistles till he bleeds again. And such is the condition of my misery.
Is that your son, widow?
Yes. Did your ladyship never know that till now?
No, trust me, did I?
Nor ever truly felt the power of love and pity to a man till now I knew him.
Hark you, pray let me speak with you, sir, before you go.
With me, lady? You shall. I am at your service.
I see her now, I'm sure. The ape's so little I shall scarce feel her. I've seen almost as tall as she sold in the fair for tenpence. See how she simpers it, as if marmalade would not melt in her mouth. Well, she might have the kindness, if faith, to send me a gilded bull from her own trencher, a ram, a goat, or somewhat to be nibbling. These women, when they come to sweet things, once they forget all their friends, they grow so greedy. Nay, oftentimes their husbands.
Here's a health now, gallants, to the best beauty of this day in Florence.
Good health.
You're not bound to pledge your own health, lady.
That's a good way, my lord, to keep me dry.
Nay, then, here's to thyself, Bianca.
Oh, nothing comes more welcome to that name than your grace.
So, here stands the poor thief now that stole the treasure and he's not thought on. I'm rightly now oppressed. All her friends' heavy hearts lie in my breast.
Methinks there is no spirit among us gallants but what divinely sparkles from the eyes of bright Bianca. We sat all in darkness, but for that splendour. Who wast told us lately of a matchmaking rite, a marriage tender?
'Twas I, my lord.
Gariano, where is she?
This is the gentlewoman.
My lord, my daughter.
My lord.
She's a dear child to me.
That must needs be. You say she is your daughter.
Oh, nay, my good lord. Dear to my purse, I mean. Oh, she has the full qualities of a gentlewoman. I have brought her up to music, dancing, what not, that may commend her sex and stir her husband.
And which is he now?
This young heir, my lord.
Sire, what is he brought up to?
My lord, he's a great ward, wealthy, but simple. His parts consist in acres.
Oh,
Wiseacres.
You have spoken him in a word, sir.
Lass, poor gentlewoman. She's ill bestead, unless she has dealt the wiselier and laid in more provision for her youth. Yeah. Fools will not keep in summer.
No, nor such wives from whores in winter.
Yea, the voice too, sir.
Aye, and a sweet breast too, my lord, I hope, or I have cast away my money wisely.
Her breast? He talks as if his daughter had given suck before she were married, as her betters have. The next he praises sure will be her nipples.
Methinks now such a wife to such a husband is like a jewel of unvalued worth hung at a fool's ear. Let's turn us to a better banquet, then, for music bids the soul of man to a feast, and that's indeed a noble entertainment, worthy Bianca's self. You shall perceive, beauty, our Florentine damsels are not wrought up idly.
They are wiser of themselves, it seems, my lord, and can take gifts when goodness offers them.
True. And damnation has taught you that wisdom. You can take gifts, too. Oh, that music mocks me.
I am as dumb to any language now but love's, as one that never learned to speak. I am not yet so old, but he may think of me. Oh, mine own fault. I have been idle a long time, but I'll begin the week and paint tomorrow, so follow my true labour day by day. I never thrived so well as when I used it.
Will please you now, Guardiano, to entreat your ward to take her by the hand and lead her in a dance before the Duke.
That will I, sir. 'Tis needful. Hark you, nephew.
Nay, you shall see, young heir, what you have for your money without fraud or imposture.
Dance with her? Well, not I, sweet guardian. Do not urge my heart to it. But 'tis clean against my blood. Dance with a stranger. Let whoso will do it. I'll not begin first with her.
Why, who shall take her then?
Some other gentleman. Look, there's her uncle. A fine timbered reveller. Perhaps he knows the manner of her dancing, too. I'll have him do it before me. I have sworn, guardian, then may I learn the better.
Don't be an ass still.
Why, all that, uncle, shall not fool me out.
Hey, Hippolyto, sir, pray, take your niece and dance with her. My ward's a little wilful, he would have. You show him the way.
Me, sir? He shall command it at all hours. Pray tell him, sir.
I thank you for him. He has not wit himself, sir.
Come, my life's peace.
Uncle?
I have a strange office on here. 'Tis some man's luck to keep the joys he likes concealed for his own bosom, but my fortune to set them out now for another's liking.
Signor Fabrizio, you are a happy father. Your cares and pains are fortunate, you see. Your cost bears noble fruits. Hippolyto! Thanks.
Here's some amends for all my charges yet. She wins both prick and praise where'er she comes.
How liketh Bianca?
All things well, my lord. But this poor gentlewoman's fortune, that's the worst.
There is no doubt, Bianca, she'll find leisure to make that good enough. He's rich and simple.
She has the better hope of the upper hand, indeed, which women strive for most.
Don't when I bid you, sir.
I'll venture but a hornpipe with her, guardian, or some such married man's dance.
Well, venture something, sir.
I thought he would have married her by attorney, and lain with her so, too.
Nay, my kind lord, there's very seldom any found so foolish to give away his part there.
Bitter scoff. Yet I must do it. With what a cruel pride the glory of her sin strikes by my afflictions.
If he would take some voyage when he's married, dangerous or long enough, and scarce be seen once in 9 years together, a wife then might make indifferent shift to be content with him.
A kiss. That wit deserves to be made much of. Come, our coach.
Stands ready for your grace.
My thanks to all your loves.
Your grace.
Come, fair Bianca. We have took special care of you and provided your lodging near us now.
Your love is great, my lord.
Once more, our thanks to all.
All blessings guard you.
Oh, hast thou left me then, Bianca, utterly? Bianca, now I miss thee. Oh, return and save the faith of woman. I ne'er felt the loss of thee till now.
'Tis an affliction of greater weight than youth was made to bear, as if a punishment of afterlife were fallen upon man here.
Sweet sir.
Canst thou forget the dear pains my love took? How it has watched whole nights together in all weathers for thee, and then received thee from thy father's window into these arms at midnight, when we embraced as if we had been statues only made for it, and kissed as if our lips had grown together.
This makes me madder to enjoy him now. Sir?
Cry mercy, lady. What would you say to me? My sorrow makes me so unmannerly, so comfort bless me, I had quite forgot you.
Nothing but e'en in pity to that passion would give your grief good counsel.
Marry and welcome, lady. It never could come better.
Then first, sir, to make away all your good thoughts at once of her. Know most assuredly she is a strumpet.
Huh? Most assuredly? Speak not a thing so vile, so certainly. Leave it more doubtful.
Then I must leave all truth and spare my knowledge. You missed your fortunes when you met with her, sir. Young gentlemen that only love for beauty, they love not wisely. Such a marriage rather proves the destruction of affection. It brings on want, and wants the key of whoredom. I think he had small means with her.
Oh, not any, lady.
Alas, poor gentleman, what mean'st thou, sir, quite to undo thyself with thine own kind heart? Thou art too good and pitiful to woman. Marry, sir, thank thy stars for this blessed fortune that rids the summer of thy youth so well from any beggars that had lain a-sunning in thy beams only else, till thou hadst wasted the whole days of thy life in heat and labour. What would you say now to a creature found as pitiful to you, and as it were, e'en sent on purpose from the whole sex general to require all that kindness you have shown to it?
What's that, madam?
Nay, a gentlewoman, and one able to reward good things, aye, and bears a conscience to't. Couldst thou love such a one that, blow all fortunes, would never see thee want, nay more, maintain thee to thine enemy's envy, and shall not spend a care for it, stir a thought, nor break a sleep, unless love's music waked thee, no storm of fortune should? Look upon me, and know that woman.
Oh, my life's wealth, Bianca.
Still with her name? Will nothing wear it out? That deep sigh went but for a strumpet, sir.
They can go for no other that loves me.
He's vexed in mind. I came too soon to him. Where's my discretion now, my skill, my judgment? I am cunning in all arts but my own love. 'Tis as unseasonable to tempt him now so soon as for a widow to be courted following her husband's course, or to make bargain by the graveside and take a young man there. Her strange departure stands like a hearse yet before his eyes, which time will take down shortly.
Is she my wife till death, yet no more mine? That's a hard measure. Then what's marriage good for? Methinks by right I should not now be living, and then 'twere all well. What a happiness had I been made of had I never seen her, for nothing makes man's loss grievous to him but knowledge of the worth of what he loses. For what he never had, he never misses. She's gone for ever. Utterly. There is as much redemption of a soul from hell as a fair woman's body from his palace. Why should my love last longer than her truth? What is there good in woman to be loved, when only that which makes her so has left her? I cannot love her now, but I must like her sin, and my own shame too, and be guilty of law's breach with her, and mine own abusing all which were monstrous. Then my safest course for health of mind and body is to turn my heart and hate her. Most extremely hate her. I have no other way.
Those virtuous powers which were chaste witnesses of both our troths can witness she breaks first. And I am rewarded with captainship of the fort. A place of credit, I must confess. But poor. My factorship shall not exchange means with...
I have tried all ways I can and have not power to keep from sight of him.
How are you now, sir?
I feel a better ease, madam.
Thanks to blessedness. You will do well, I warrant you. Fear it not, sir. Join but your own goodwill to it. He's not wise that loves his pain or sickness, or grows fond of a disease whose property is to vex him and spitefully drink his blood up. Out upon, sir, you never saw the beauty of my house yet, nor how abundantly fortune has blessed me in worldly treasure. Trust me, I have enough, sir, to make my friend a rich man in my life, a great man at my death. Yourself will say so.
I'm sure this can be but the flattery of some dream.
Now by this kiss, my love, my soul and riches, 'tis all true substance.
Come, you shall see my wealth. Take what you list. The gallanter you go, the more you please me. I will allow you to your page and footman, your racehorses, or any various pleasures exercise youth delights in. But to me, only, sir, wear your heart of constant stuff. Do but you love enough. I'll give enough.
Troth, then, I'll love enough and take enough.
Then we are both pleased enough.
Now, nephew, here's Isabella again.
Mass, she's come again. Mark her now, sorted her.
This is the maid my love and care has chose out for your wife, and so I tender her to you. I bring you both to talk together now. 'Tis time you grew familiar in your tongues. Tomorrow you join hands, and one ring ties you, and one bed holds you, if you like the choice. Her father and her friends are in the next room, and stayed to see the contract ere they part. Therefore, dispatch, good ward, be sweet and short. Like her or like her not, there's but two ways, and one your body, the other your purse pays.
I warrant you, guardian, I'll not stand all day thrumming, but quickly shoot my bolt at your next coming.
Well said. Good fortune to your birding, then.
I never missed mark yet.
Troth, I think, master, if the truth were known, you never shot at any but the kitchen wench.
No more of that meat, sordid, or we must turn gingerly.
But that I have the advantage of the fool, as much as woman's heart can wish and joy at. What an infernal torment 'twere to be thus bought and sold and turned and pried into, when, alas, the worst bit is too good for him.
Gentlewoman, they say 'tis your pleasure to be my wife, and you shall know shortly whether it be mine or no to be your husband. And thereupon, thus, I first enter upon you. Oh, most delicious scent. Methinks it tasted as if a man had stepped into a comfort maker's shop to let a cart go by all the while I kissed her. Oh, it is reported, gentlewoman, you'll run mad for me if you have me not.
I should be in great danger of my wits, sir.
Alas, poor soul. And is that hair your own?
Mine own? Yes, sure, sir. I owe nothing for it.
Well, it is a good hearing. I shall have the less to pay when I have married you. Look, does her eyes stand well?
They cannot stand better than in her head, I think. Where would you have them? And for her nose, 'tis of a very good last.
But, sordido, how shall we do to make her laugh, that I may see what teeth she has? For I'll not bait her a tooth, nor take a black one into the bargain.
Why, do but you fall in talk with her, you cannot choose but one time or other make her laugh, sir.
It shall go hard, but I will. Pray, what qualities have you besides singing and dancing? Can you play at shuttlecock, forsooth?
Aye, and at stoolball too, sir. I have great luck at it.
Why, can you catch a ball well?
I have catched two in my lap at one game.
What have you, woman? I must have you learn to play at trap too. Then you are full and whole.
Anything that you please to bring me up to, I shall take pains to practice.
"'Twill not do, Sordido. We shall never get her mouth opened wide enough."
"'No, sir. That's strange. Then here's a trick for your learning." "'Oh, look now, look now. Quick, quick, there.
There. Pox of that scurvy manly trick with handkerchief. Oh, it hindered me a little. No, but I am satisfied."
"Ah, why, then you have all well, sir. For aught I see, she's right and straight enough. Now she stands."
"I'd fain mark how she goes, and then I have all. For of all creatures, I cannot abide a splay-footed woman. She's an unlucky thing to meet in a morning. Her heels keep together so, as if she were beginning an Irish dance still, and the wriggling of her bum playing the tune to it. But I have bethought a cleanly shift to find it. See, dab down, as you see me, and a peep of one side, when her back's toward you. I'll show you the way."
"And you shall find me apt enough to peeping. I've been one of them as seen mad sights under your scaffolds."
"Will it please you walk, forsooth, a turn or two by yourself? You're so pleasing to me, I take delight to view you on both sides."
"I shall be glad to fetch a walk to your love, sir. 'Twill get affection a good stomach, sir, which I'd need have to fall to such coarse victuals."
"Now go thy ways for a clean-treading wench, as ever man in modesty peeped under."
"I see the sweetest sight to please my master. Never went Frenchman writer upon ropes, and she on Florentine rushes."
"'Tis enough, forsooth."
"And how do you like me now, sir?"
"Faith, so well. I never mean to part with this sweetheart under some 16 children, and all boys."
"You'll be at simple pains if you prove kind, and breed 'em all in your teeth."
"Nay, by my faith, what serves your belly for? It would make my cheeks look like blown bagpipes."
"How now, ward and nephew, gentlewoman and niece? Speak, is it so or not?"
"'Tis so, we are both agreed, sir."
"Into your kindred, then. There's friends and wine and music waits to welcome you."
"Well, then I'll be drunk for joy."
"And die for company. I cannot break my nose in a better action."
Strangely, woman's fortune comes about. This was the farthest way to come to me, all would have judged that knew me born in Venice, and there with many jealous eyes brought up. Yet my hap to meet it here, so far off from my birthplace, my friends or kindred. 'Tis not good in sadness to keep a maid so strict in her young days. Restraint breeds wandering thoughts, as many fasting days a great desire to see flesh stirring again. I'll ne'er use any girl of mine so strictly."
"I long to see how my despiser looks now she's come here to court. These are her lodgings. She's simply now advanced. I took her out of no such window I remember first, that was a great deal lower and less carved."
"What silkworms this are the name of pride! What, is it he?"
"A bow and the ham to your greatness. You must have now three legs, I take it, must you not?"
"Then I must take another. I shall want else the service I should have. You have but two there."
"You are richly placed."
"You have an excellent suit there."
"A chair of velvet."
"Is your cloak lined through, sir?"
"You're very stately here."
"Faith, something proud, sir."
"Stay, stay. Let's see your cloth of silver slippers."
"Who's your shoemaker? Has made you a neat boot."
"Will you have a pair? The Duke will lend you spurs."
"Yes, when I ride."
"'Tis a brave life you lead."
"I could ne'er see you in such good clothes in my time."
"In your time?"
"Sure, I think, sir. We both thrive best asunder."
"You are a whore."
"Fear nothing, sir."
"An impudent, spiteful strumpet."
"Oh, sir, you give me thanks for your captainship. I thought you had forgot all your good manners."
"And to spite thee as much, look there. There, read. Vex, gnaw. Thou shalt find there I am not love-starved. The world was never yet so cold or pitiless, but there was ever still more charity found out than at one proud fool's door. And to a hard faith, if I could not pass that. Read to thy shame there. A cheerful and a beauteous benefactor too, as e'er erected the good works of love."
Lady Livia? Is it possible? Her worship was my Pandreth. She dote and send and give and all to him. Why, he is a bored plagued home.
You are simply happy, sir. Yet I'll not envy you.
No court saint, not thou. You keep some friend of a new fashion. There's no harm in your devil. He's a suckling, but he will breed teeth shortly, will he not?
Take heed you play not then too long with him.
Yes, and the great one, too. I shall find time to play a hot religious bout with some of you, and perhaps drive you and your course of sins to their eternal kennels. I speak softly now. 'Tis manners in a noble woman's lodgings, and I well know all my degrees of duty. But come I to your everlasting parting once, thunder shall seem soft music to that tempest.
'Twas said last week there would be change of weather when the moon hung so, and belike you heard it.
Why, here's sin made, and ne'er a conscience put to it. Why do I talk to thee of sense of virtue that art as dark as death, and as much madness to set light before thee as to lead blind folks to see the monuments, which they may smell as soon as they behold? Marry, oft-times their heads, for want of light, may feel the hardness of them. So shall thy blind pride, my revenge and anger, that canst not see it now, and it may fall at such an hour when thou least seest of all. So to an ignorance darker than thy womb I leave thy perjured soul. A plague will come!
Get you gone, Fersen, and I fear no greater.
Nor thee will I fear long. I'll have this sauciness soon banished from these lodgings, and the rooms perfumed well after the corrupt air it leave. His breath has made me almost sick, in truth. A poor base starter, life, because has got fair clothes by foul means, comes to rail and show 'em.
Who's that?
Cry you mercy, sir.
Yeah, prithee. Who's that?
The former thing, my lord, to whom you gave the captainship. He eats his meat with grudging still.
Still?
He comes vaunting here of his new love and the new clothes she gave him. Lady Livia. Who but she, now his mistress?
Lady Livia. Be sure of what you say.
He showed me her name, sir. In perfumed paper, her vows, her letter, with an intent to spite me. So his heart said, and his threats made it good. They were as spiteful as ever malice uttered, and as dangerous should his hand follow the copy.
But that must not. Do not you vex your mind. Prithee, to bed go. All shall be well and quiet.
I love peace, sir.
And so do all that love. Take you no care for it. It shall be still provided to your hand. Who's near us there?
My lord.
Seek out Hippolyto, brother to Lady Livia, with all speed.
He was the last man I saw, my lord.
Make haste. He is a blood soon stirred, and as he's quick to apprehend a wrong, he's bold and sudden in bringing forth a ruin. I know likewise the reputation of his sister's honours as dear to him as lifeblood to his heart. He comes. Hippolyto, welcome.
My loved lord.
How does that lusty widow, thy kind sister, is she not sped yet of a third husband? A bedfellow she has, I ask not that. I know she's sped of him.
Of him, my lord?
Yes, of a bedfellow. Is the news so strange to you?
I hope 'tis so to all.
I wish it were, sir. But 'tis confessed too fast. Her ignorant pleasures, only by lust instructed, have received into their service an impudent boaster, one that does raise his glory from her shame and tells the midday sun what's done in darkness.
Oh, thou destruction of all happy fortunes, unsated blood. Know you the name, my lord, of her abuser?
One Leantio.
He's a factor.
He ne'er made so brave a voyage by his own talk.
The poor old widow's son. I humbly take my leave.
So give her good counsel. Make her see her error. I know she'll hearken to you.
Yes, my lord. I make no doubt as I shall take the course which she shall never know till it be acted. And when she wakes to honour, then she'll thank me for it.
I count this done already. His wrath sure, and speaks an injury deep. Farewell, Leantio. This place will never hear thee murmur more.
Our noble brother, Cardinal, welcome. Why, what is't commands your eye so powerfully? Speak. You seem lost.
The thing I look on seems so, to my eyes, lost forever.
You look on me.
What a grief 'tis to a religious feeling to think a man should have a friend so goodly, so wise, so noble, nay, a duke, a brother, and all this certainly damned.
How?
'Tis no wonder if your great sin can do it. Dare you look up for thinking of a vengeance? Dare you sleep for fear of never waking but to death? And dedicate unto a strumpet's love the strength of your affections, zeal, and health? Here you stand now. Can you assure your pleasures you shall once more enjoy her, but once more? Alas, you cannot. What a misery 'tis then to be more certain of eternal death than of the next embrace.
Sweet brother.
Nay, shall I show you how more unfortunate you stand in sin than the low, private man? All his offences, like enclosed grounds, keep but about himself, and seldom stretch beyond his own soul's bounds. And when a man grows miserable, 'tis some comfort when he's no further charged than with himself. 'Tis a sweet ease to wretchedness. But, great man, every sin thou commit'st shows like a flame upon a mountain, 'tis seen far about, and with a big wind made of popular breath, the sparkles fly through cities. Here one takes, another catches there, and in short time waste all to cinders. But remember still, what burnt the valleys first came from the hill.
If you have done, I have. No more, sweet brother.
I know time spent in goodness is too tedious. This had not been a moment's space in lust now. How dare you venture on eternal pain that cannot bear a minute's reprehension? Methinks you should endure to hear that talk of which you so strive to suffer. Oh, my brother, what were you if you were taken now? My heart weeps blood to think on't. 'Tis a work of infinite mercy you can never merit, that yet you are not death-struck. No, not yet. I dare not stay you long, for fear you should not have time enough allowed you to repent in. There's but this wall betwixt you and destruction, when you are at strongest, and but poor thin clay. Think upon, brother, can you come so near it for a fair strumpet's love, and fall into a torment that knows neither end nor bottom, for beauty but the deepness of a skin, and that not of their own neither? Is she a thing whom sickness dare not visit, or age look on, or death resist? Does the worm shun her grave? If no, as your soul knows it, why should lust bring man to lasting pain for rotten dust?
Brother of spotless honour, let me weep the first of my repentance in my bosom, and show the blessed fruits of a thankful spirit. And if I e'er keep woman more unlawfully, may I want penitence at my greatest need.
Why, here's a conversion is at this time, brother, sung for a hymn in heaven. And at this instant the powers of darkness groan, makes all hell sorry. First I praise heaven, then in my work I glory. The peace of a fair soul keep with my noble brother.
Joys be with you, sir.
She lies alone tonight for it, and must still, although it be hard to conquer. But I have vowed never to know her as a strumpet more, and I must save my oath. If fury fail not, her husband dies tonight, or at the most lives not to see the morning spent tomorrow, then will I make her lawfully mine own, without this sin and horror. Now I'm chidden for what I shall enjoy then, unforbidden. Live like a hopeful bridegroom, chaste from flesh, and pleasure then will seem new, fair, and fresh.
The morning so far wasted, yet his baseness so impudent. See if the very sun do not blush at him. Dare he do thus much, and know me alive? Put case, one must be vicious, as I know myself monstrously guilty. There's a blind time made for it. He might use only that, 'twere conscionable. Art, silence, closeness, subtlety, and darkness are fit for such a business. But there's no pity to be bestowed on an apparent sinner, an impudent daylight lecher.
Once again I'll see that glistering whore. Shines like a serpent now the court sun's upon her. Page!
Anon, sir.
I'll go in state, too. See the coach be ready. I'll hurry away presently.
Yes, you shall hurry, and the devil after you. Take that! Setting forth! Now, and you'll draw we are upon equal terms, sir. Thou took'st advantage of my name in honour upon my sister. I ne'er saw the stroke come till I found my reputation bleeding, and therefore counted I no sin to valour to serve thy lust. So, now we are of even hand. Take your best course against me. You must die.
How close sticks envy to man's happiness. When I was poor and little cared for life, I had no such means offered me to die. No man's wrath minded me. Slave, I turn this to thee, to call thee to account for a wound lately of a base stamp upon me.
'Twas most fit for a base metal. Come and fetch one now more noble then. For I will use thee fairer than thou hast done thine own soul or our honour. And there I think 'tis for thee.
False wife. Until now thou hast prayed heartily for me. Rise, strumpet, by my fall. Thy lust may reign now. My heartstring and the marriage knot that tied thee breaks both together.
There I heard the sound on't, and never liked string better.
Tis my brother. Are you hurt, sir?
Not anything.
Blessed fortune shift for thyself. What is he thou hast killed?
Our honour's enemy.
Know you this man, lady?
Leandio, my love's joy. Wounds stick upon thee as deadly as thy sins. Art thou not hurt? The devil take that fortune, and he dead. Drop plagues into thy bowels without voice, secret and fearful. Run for officers. Let him be apprehended with all speed, for fear he scape away.
My lady...
Lay hands on him. We cannot be too short as willful murder. You do heaven's vengeance and the law just service. You know him not as I do. He's a villain.
Will you but entertain a noble patience till you but hear the reason, worthy sister?
The reason that a jest hell falls a laughing at. Is there a reason found for the destruction of our more lawful loves? And was there none to kill a black lust 'twixt thy niece and thee that has kept close so long?
How's that, good madam?
True, sir. There she stands. Let her deny't. The deed cries shortly in the midwife's arms, unless the parent's sin strike it stillborn. Look upon me, Isabella. 'Twas I betrayed thy honour subtly to him under a false tale. It lights upon me now.
No.
His arm has paid me home upon thy breast, my sweet beloved Leandro.
Was my judgment and care in choice so devilishly abused, so beyond shamefully, all the world will grin at me.
Oh, Sordido. Sordido, I'm damned. I'm damned.
Damned? Why, sir?
One of the wicked. Does not see it. A cuckold, a plain reprobate cuckold.
Nay, and you be damned for that. Be of good cheer, sir. You have gallant company of all professions.
Oh, that is some comfort, yes.
You, sir.
Lady.
That bear your load of injuries as I of sorrows. Lend me your grieved strength to this sad burden, who in life wore actions, flames were not nimbler. We'll talk of things. May have the luck to break our hearts together.
I'll list to nothing but revenge and anger, whose counsels I will follow.
Was ever maid so cruelly beguiled to the confusion of life, soul, and honour, all of one woman's murdering? I'd fain bring her name no nearer to my blood than woman, and 'tis too much a fact. Oh, shame and horror! In that small distance from yon man to me lies sin enough to make a whole world perish. 'Tis time we parted, sir, and left the sight of one another. Nothing can be worse to hurt repentance. If any goodness rest in you, hope of comforts, fear of judgments, my request is I ne'er may see you more. And so I turn me from you everlastingly. So is my hope to miss you. But for her that durst so dally with a sin so dangerous, and lay a snare so spitefully for my youth, if the least means but favour my revenge, that I may practice the like cruel cunning upon her life as she has on mine honour, I'll act it without pity.
Here's a care of reputation and a sister's fortune sweetly rewarded by her. Would a silence as great as that which keeps among the graves had everlastingly chained up her tongue? My love to her has made mine miserable.
If you can but dissemble your heart's griefs now, be but a woman so far.
Peace. I'll strive, sir.
As I can wear my injuries in a smile, here's an occasion offered that gives anger both liberty and safety to perform things worth the fire it holds, without the fear of danger or of law. For mischiefs acted under the privilege of a marriage triumph at the Duke's hasty nuptials will be thought things merely accidental. All's by chance, not got of their own natures.
I conceive you, sir, even to a longing for performance on't. And here, behold some fruits. Forgive me, brother, niece. What I am now returned to, sense and judgment, is not the same rage and distraction presented lately to you. That rude form is gone forever. I am now myself that speaks all peace and friendship, and these tears are the true springs of hearty penitent sorrow. For those foul wrongs which my forgetful fury slandered your virtues with, this gentleman is well resolved now.
I was never otherwise. I knew, alas, 'twas but your anger spake it, and I ne'er thought on't more.
Pray rise, good sister.
He is e'en as sweet amends made for a wrong now, as one that gives a wound and pays the surgeon all the smarts nothing, the great loss of blood or time of hindrance. Well, I had a mother. I can dissemble too.
What wrongs have slipped through anger's ignorance, aunt, my heart forgives.
Why, this is tuneful now.
And what I did, sister, was all for honour's cause.
Being awake to goodness, I understand so much, sir, and praise now the fortune of your arm and of your safety. For by his death he have rid me of a sin as costly as e'er woman doted on.
Has pleased the Duke so well, too, that, behold, sir, has sent you here your pardon, which I kissed with most affectionate comfort. When 'twas brought, then was my fit just past. It came so well, methought, to glad my heart.
I see his grace thinks on me.
There's no talk now but of the preparation for the great marriage.
Does he marry her, then?
With all speed, suddenly, as fast as cost can be laid on with many thousand hands. Gordiano and I had once a purpose to have honoured the first marriage of the Duke with an invention of his own. 'Twas ready, the pains well passed, most of the charge bestowed on't. Then came the death of your good mother, niece, and turned the glory of it all to black.
'Tis a device would fit these times so well, too. Art's treasury, not better. If you join, it shall be done. The cost shall all be mine.
You have my voice first. 'Twill well approve my thankfulness for the Duke's love and favour.
What say you, niece? I am content to make one.
The plot's full, then. Your pages, madam, will make shift for Cupids.
That will they, sir.
You'll play your old part still.
What is... Good troth, I'd even forgot it.
Why, Juno Pronuba, the marriage goddess.
Oh, 'tis right indeed.
And you shall play the nymph that offers sacrifice to appease her wrath.
Sacrifice, good sir? Must I be appeased, then?
That's as you list yourself, as you seek cause.
Methinks 'twould show the more state in her deity to be incensed.
Oh, 'twould, but my sacrifice shall take a course to appease you, or I'll fail it, and teach a sinful bawd to blay a goddess.
For our parts, we'll not be ambitious, sir. Please you, walk in and see the project drawn, then take your choice.
I weigh not, so I have one.
How much ado have I to restrain fury from breaking into curses? Oh, how painful 'tis to keep great sorrow smothered. Sure, I think 'tis harder to dissemble grief than love. Leontio, here the weight of thy loss lies, which nothing but destruction can suffice.
In nomine Patri et Filii et Spiritus
Sancti. Are these the fruits of your repentance, brother? Better it had been you'd never sorrowed than to abuse the benefit and return to worse than where sin left you. Vowed you then never to keep strumpet more? And are you now so swift in your desires to knit your honours and your life fast to her? Is not sin sure enough to wretched man, but he must bind himself in chains to it? Worse, must marriage, that immaculate robe of honour that renders virtue glorious, fair and fruitful to her great master, be now made the garment of leprosy and foulness? Is this the best amends that sin can make after her riots? As if a drunkard, to appease heaven's wrath, should offer up his surfeit for a sacrifice? If that be comely, then lust's offerings are on wedlock's sacred altar.
Here ye are bitter without cause, brother. What I vowed, I keep as safe as you your conscience, and this needs not. I taste more wrath in it than I do religion, and envy more than goodness. The path now I tread is honest, leads to lawful love, which virtue in her strictness would not check. I vowed no more to keep a sensual woman. 'Tis done. I mean to make a lawful wife of her.
Grow not too cunning for your soul, good brother. Is it enough to use adulterous thefts and then take sanctuary in marriage? I grant, so long as an offender keeps close in a privileged temple, his life's safe. But if he ever venture to come out and so be taken, then he surely dies for it. So now you're safe. But when you leave this body, man's only privileged temple upon earth in which the guilty soul takes sanctuary, then you'll perceive what wrongs chaste vows endure when lust usurps the bed that should be pure.
Sir, I have read you over all this while in silence, and I find great knowledge in you and severe learning. Yet amongst all your virtues I see not charity written, which some call the firstborn of religion, and I wonder I cannot see it in yours. Believe it, sir, there is no virtue can be sooner missed or later welcome. It begins the rest and sets them all in order. If every woman that commits evil should be therefore kept back in desires of goodness, how should virtue be known and honoured? From a man that's blind, to take a burning taper, 'tis no wrong, he never misses it. But to take light from one that sees, that's injury and spite. 'Tis nothing virtue's temples to deface, but build the ruins, there's a work of grace.
I kiss thee for that spirit. Thou hast praised thy wit a modest way. On there.
Lust is bold, and will have vengeance speak, ere it be controlled.
ward. Hast thou any sense of thy abuse? Dost thou know what wrong's done thee?
I were an ass else. I cannot wash my face, but I'm feeling odd.
Here, take this galtrop, then. Convey it secretly into the place I showed you. Look here, sir. This is the trap door to it.
I know it of old, uncle. Since the last triumph, here rose up a devil with one eye, I remember, with a company of fireworks at its tail.
Prithee, leave squibbing now. Mark me, and fail not. But when thou hearst me stamp, down with the trap. The villain's caught there.
If I miss you, hang me. I love to catch a villain, and your stamp shall go current, I warrant you.
Away, list to the privy stamp, that's all I pass.
Stamp my horns in a mortar if I miss you, and give the powder in white wine to sick cuckolds, a very present remedy for the headache.
If this should any way miscarry now, the pages that present the swift-winged cupids are taught to hit him with their shafts of love, fitting his part, which I have cunningly poisoned. He cannot escape my fury, and those ills will be laid all on fortune, not our wills. That's all the sport, aunt, for who will imagine that at the celebration of this night any mischance that haps can flow from spite?
Now, our fair Duchess, your delight shall witness how ye are beloved and honoured. All the glories bestowed upon the gladness of this night are done for your bright sake.
I am the more in debt, my lord, to loves and courtesies that offer up themselves so bounteously to do me honoured grace without my merit.
A goodness set in greatness, how it sparkles afar off, like pure diamonds set in gold. How perfect my desires were, might I witness but a fair, noble peace twixt you and the cardinal. The reconcilement would be more sweet to me than longer life to him that fears to die. Good sir!
I profess peace, and am content.
I'll see the seal upon it, and then 'tis firm.
You shall have all you wish.
Indeed.
I have all now.
But I have made surer work. This shall not blind me. He that begins so early to reprove, quickly rid him, or look for little love. Beware a brother's envy. He's next heir, too. Cardinal, you die this night. The plot's laid securely. In time of sports, death may steal in, surely. Then 'tis least thought on. For he that's most religious, holy friend, does not at all hours think upon his end.
My lord!
What's this, Fabritio?
Married the model of what's presented.
Oh, we thank their loves. Sweet Duchess, take your seat. Listen to the argument. There is a nymph that haunts the woods and springs, in love with two at once, and they with her. Equal it runs, but to decide these things, the cause to mighty Juno they refer. She being the marriage goddess. The two lovers, they offer sighs, the nymph a sacrifice, all to please Juno, who by signs discovers how the event shall be, so that strife dies. This music shows her upon entrance now.
Then enter all my wishes.
To thee, fair bride, Hymen offers up of nuptial joys this, the celestial cup. Taste it, and thou shalt ever find love in thy bed, peace in thy mind.
We'll taste you sure. 'Twere pity to disgrace so pretty a beginning.
'Twas spoke nobly. But soft, here's no such persons in the argument as these three, Hymen, Hebe, Ganymede, the actors that this model here discovers, are only four, Juno, a nymph, two lovers.
This is some anti-mask, belike, my lord, to entertain time.
Two cups of nectar have we bed from Jove. Hebe, give that to innocence.
Oh.
I this to love.
Well, Ganymede, you have more faults, though not so known. I spilled one cup, but you have filched many a one.
No more. Forbear for Hymen's sake. In love we met, and so let's parting take.
Now my peace is perfect. Let sports come on apace. Now is their time, my lord.
the nymph, and Cupid.
Thou sacred goddess and queen of nuptials, daughter to great Saturn, sister and wife to Jove, imperial Juno, pity this passionate conflict in my breast, this tedious war twixt two affections. Crown one with victory, and my heart's at peace.
Make me that happy man, thou mighty goddess.
But I live most in hope, if truest love merit the greatest comfort.
I love both with such an even and fair affection. I know not which to speak for, which to wish for, till thou, great arbitress twixt lovers' hearts, by thy auspicious grace, design the man which pity I implore.
We all implore it.
And after sighs, contrition's truest odours, I offer to thy powerful deity this precious incense. May it ascend peacefully. And if it keep true touch, my good Aunt Juno, 'twill try your immortality ere it be long.
Though you and your affections seem all as dark to our illustrious brightness as night's inheritance hell, we pity you, and your requests are granted. You asked signs, they shall be given you. We'll be gracious to you. He of those twain which we determine for you, love's arrows shall wound twice. The latter wound betokens love in age, for so are all whose love continues firmly all their lifetime, twice wounded at their marriage. Else affection dies when youth ends. This incense overcomes me. Now, for a sign of wealth and golden days, bright-eyed prosperity which all couples love, take that! Our brother Jove never denies us of his burning gold to express bounty.
This swerves a little from the argument, though. Look you, my lord.
Isabella dead. How treachery cruelly made away.
Was fast. Now comes my part to lure Hippolyto. Then with a stamp given, he is dispatched.
Look, there's Gariano dropped away, too.
Why, sure, this plot's drawn false. Here's no such thing.
Oh, I'm sick to the death. Help me down quickly. This fume is deadly. Oh, it has poisoned me. My subtlety is sped. Her art has quitted me. My own ambition pulls me down to ruin.
Oh. Look, Juno's down too. What makes she there? And Cupid's arrows fly.
Oh, death runs through my blood. In a wild flame too. Plague of those Cupids. Some lay hold on them. Let them not escape. They have spoiled me. The shaft's deadly.
I have lost myself in this quite.
My great lords, we are all confounded.
How?
Isabella dead, and I worse.
Dead? My girl dead? I hope my sister Livia has not served me so.
Lust and forgetfulness has been amongst us, and we are brought to nothing. Some blessed charity lend me the speeding pity of his sword to quench this fire in blood. Leontio's death has brought all this upon us. Now I taste it, and made us lay plots to confound each other. Livia, in a madness for her lover's death, revealed a fearful lust in our near bloods, for which I am punished dreadfully and unlooked for. Proved her own ruin too. Vengeance met vengeance like a set match, as if the plagues of sin had been agreed to meet here altogether. But our partner Gardiano fell I reach not, unless caught by some trap of his own setting. For on my pain he never dreamed of dying, the plot was all his own, and he had cunning enough to save himself. Oh, this torment!
Our guard below there.
My lord! Run and meet death then, cut off time and pain!
My lord! Hippolyto has run his breast upon a weapon's point.
Upon the first night of our nuptial honours, destruction plays her triumph, and great mischiefs mask unexpected pleasures. 'Tis ominous.
God, remove these bodies from our eyes.
Not yet, no change. When falls he to the earth?
Please, would your excellent to peruse this paper, which is a brief confession from the heart of Gardiano ere his soul departed. And there the darkness of these deeds speaks plainly. His ward,
but ignorantly let him down. Fear put a present flight to the voice of him.
Read, read, for I am lost in sight and strength.
My noble brother?
Oh, the curse of wretchedness. My deadly hand has fallen upon my lord.
My heart swells bigger yet. Help here. Break to hope. Thy breast flies open next.
Oh, with the poison that was prepared for thee. Thee, Cardinal, 'twas meant for thee.
Poor prince.
Accursed error. Give me thy last breath, thou infected bosom, and wrap two spirits in one poisoned vapour.
The greatest sorrow and astonishment that ever struck the general peace of Florence dwells in this hour.
So my desires are satisfied. I feel death's power within me. Thou hast prevailed in something, cursed poison, though thy chief force was spent in my lord's bosom. What make I here? These are all strangers to me, nor do I seek their pities.
Oh, restrain her ignorant, willful hand.
Now do. 'Tis done. Leontio, now I feel the breach of marriage at my heart breaking. Oh, the deadly snares that women set for women, without pity either to soul or honor. Learn by me to know your foes. In this belief, I die, like our own sex. We have no enemy. No enemy.
Sin, what thou art, these ruins show too piteously. Two kings on one throne cannot sit together, but one must needs down for his title's wrong. So where lust reigns, that prince cannot reign long.
In Women Beware Women, Livia was played by Penny Downey, Bianca, Beth Chalmers, Leontio, John McAndrew, Leontio's mother, Manon Edwards, Guardiano, Bill Wallace, Isabella, Sarah McGaughey, Hippolito, Andrew Wincott, Fabritio, James Green, the Duke, Nigel Terry, the Cardinal, Dorian Thomas, the Ward, Robert Harper, and Sordido, Simon Ludders. Women Beware Women was written by Thomas Middleton and directed in Wales by Alison Hindle.